This is Side Podcast episode 60. As far as I can tell, it's massively complicated. Coming up on today's show, we discuss whether Super Aguri are losing out to football, if Max is interfering, and perhaps Liuzzi is a little bit different. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
What's news in your world?
Not a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nothing you want to talk about?
Not really.
No news?
No. There's lots of Formula One news.
Right.
So we should talk about that.
Okay. Good week,
bad week. It's been a good week for France because Max Mosley is attempting to get an injunction against the video being available for download in that country. Whilst I'm not sure Max will get his way, the less that video is out there, the better, in my opinion.
Why is he trying to ban this video in France?
I don't know, maybe because he thinks he can, because legislation is tighter over there.
That doesn't make any sense, though. The only thing I can think is that his wife lives in France. Maybe she hasn't seen it yet.
She doesn't know yet.
She doesn't know.
I want to go and live in France.
That's a good plan.
It's been a bad week for potential teams because Porsche and Volkswagen have both said they definitely won't be entering F1 anytime soon. Volkswagen because they think it's too expensive, and Porsche because of the Max Mosley effect.
I was thinking of entering my own Formula One team, you know?
Really?
Yeah, but I ain't going in there because of this Max thing. It's put me right off.
Are you sure it's just because you don't have any cash?
Oh, it might be that too, yeah.
It's been a good week for the DigiFags revolution because it's been confirmed that Singapore will be using them.
Yay!
But it's not centrally controlled. The marshals are still in charge of it, and as they're incapable of waving flags, it's not really that much better.
Wouldn't it make more sense if it was centrally controlled? Then when a red flag situation occurred, it would just be one button, the whole track would be red flagged. Why are the marshals still pressing the buttons?
There is an argument to say that the marshals are closer to the action, but with all the cameras on track these days,
I think it should be overridable. Race control should have more say.
It's been a bad week for David Coulthard because Vettel has been tipped to be promoted to the Red Bull main team, and you just know who's going to be ousted from there first.
Should we open a book on it? It's not really worth
it,
is it? Odds on. News
and views. A few weeks ago, Takuma Sato let slip that Super Aguri wouldn't be attending the Barcelona test because the deal with the Magma Group still wasn't complete and therefore the budget hadn't been increased yet. So they weren't at the test this week, and then it went a bit pear-shaped.
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
On the 16th, they were due to sign the deal. Honda had backed the deal. However, the people behind the Magma Group started getting cold feet at the very last minute.
This has something to do with football, doesn't it? Because the people behind the Magma Group deal are trying to buy, or have been trying to buy, the Liverpool Football Club.
As far as I can tell, it's massively complicated. It's been going on for a long time, and it's going to continue.
It was on Sky News last week, and that was pretty much the only news we had any access to. And they went into the detail in great depth, and it looks like there's problems, and it might cost the people behind the Magma Group deal, it might cost them more money than they originally planned.
Although I saw on GrandPrix.com that if the price reduces and Honda are happy to take the loss, then the Super Aguri deal could still go ahead.
So it's not all is not lost yet?
It's all still up in the air at the moment.
Okay, wait and see. But we think they are going to be at the Spanish Grand Prix this week?
Well, they weren't sure that they'd get to it, but a transporter has been dispatched.
Okay, but it could just come home just as quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, we will see.
I think it's sad.
Really? I think it's a bit embarrassing. I don't think Formula One needs this right now. It's getting to be another Arrow saga, isn't it?
What happened with them?
Same thing happened. Transporters left. They came home. Good race, couldn't race, ran out of money, eventually went bankrupt. The end.
It's a shame because we do need more teams, but you need teams that are in it to win it and not just run around at the back waiting until the budget runs out.
Well, talking of that, Vijay Mallya didn't inspire a lot of confidence this week when he said one of his goals, or his main goal in fact, was to achieve a respectable level of performance. That's fighting talk for you, isn't it? Not we're going to win anything. We're just going to achieve, well, we're not going to embarrass ourselves.
Yeah, but look at what he's got to work with.
Well, he's got
if
to
he came
somewhere.
Out and said, yeah, we're totally going to win it, you'd laugh in his face.
Well, yeah, but when they started, remember that their slogan was, it's the taking part that counts. And now he's saying, it's just a respectable level of performance.
Well, that's obviously getting better.
Right.
So in a few months, maybe it'll be, you know, podiums.
Right. Okay. We'll see.
Despite the fact that he's just barely clinging on to his job, Max is still fiddling with the rules.
And what's he been up to?
He sent a letter to the teams proposing a stepped development of KERS for the next 5 years. Is it KERS?
I think it's KERS.
I don't like that.
Do you prefer KERS?
Yeah.
I think it's an acronym like NASA, and therefore I prefer KERS. I don't know though, maybe someone can enlighten us. We always get pronunciations wrong, but go with KERS for the moment.
What he's basically saying is it's an evolutionary process. Next season, they can take 60 kilowatts of energy from one axle, double that in 2011. In 2013, they can use both axles to get 200 kilowatts of energy. All that can be put to a boost button. Then from 2011, it can also draw energy from other heat sources and feed that to the powertrain rather than just the button. From 2011, the other source is the cooling system, and from 2013, the exhaust system as well. If you followed that, you're very smart.
That was a bit of a mouthful, wasn't it? So what you're basically saying is anything driven from the axles go to a boost button, which allows drivers to overtake, and then in the future, any other kind of recovery can go into the powertrain, which will be controlled by their right foot.
Seems like a lot of detail, a lot of rules to stick to.
Immediately piling on the restrictions, isn't he? I don't know how much Max knows about kinetic recovery systems, but why is he insisting on putting these restrictions in place to start with?
Clearly, he's a bit of a control freak. The best way to do it would be what you just said, and then add in the regulations when teams start to push it to the limit.
In his defence, this is only a proposal. I just hope that the teams have the common sense to take his document and tell him to stick it up his backside.
Anyway, it looks like Force India won't be making their own, and they'll just be buying in Ferrari system.
Oh.
This week there was a 4-day test in Barcelona. The weather was good for 3 days. It rained on the 4th. It was weird that they didn't extend the test.
No, I think it's to save money, isn't it? They had this agreement before whereby if you needed to extend the test, it cost them more money in hotel rooms and things like they had to book provisionally in case it rained. So now they're not going to do that anymore. It's good, just 4 days of testing, and if it rains, tough.
The big news, of course, was that Bourdais crashed his new car.
Yeah.
It was his first big accident and the worst possible time.
It was, wasn't it? But didn't Hamilton do that last year with a brand new McLaren?
Yeah.
So it could be a good omen for his career. You never know how it's going to pan out.
It screwed up Vettel's chance to have a go in the STR3, but it did rain the next day, so wasn't that bad.
He didn't lose that much at all, really, did he?
It might delay the introduction of the new car, though.
It probably will. Yeah. Bit of a shame. So he's not man of the moment, although he didn't say a lot about it, did he? He always denied that he had an accident. I saw an interview afterwards, no mention of it.
The team said it was completely driver error. He went in too quick.
Yeah, just got it all wrong. Although it was the end of the day, so again, you know, could have been worse. Could have been in the morning, could have ruined everything. They got some good data off it, and then they got a wrecked side.
Yeah, he did say that it was a good car, what he had.
It was a good car.
Yeah.
Before he slammed it into the wall.
Yeah.
And wrecked it.
Other than that, there were lots of new bits on cars, like Honda's Dumbo ears are back.
Ugh, they're not attractive.
They also had some interesting front wheel bins.
Well, the front wheel bins themselves weren't that interesting. It was the sticker on them, wasn't it? Not pretty.
Yeah, stickers offend you.
The Ferrari wheel bins do, just because they're pretending to be wheels and they're not, and they're supposed to go around and they don't. However, the Honda ones offend me because they're pug ugly.
Renault introduced the Red Bull fin.
Yeah, same time as the STR3 came out with one. Renault came along with them.
You would expect it on the Toro Rosso.
Yes, same car, I suppose. Yep, true. But big copycats, we think.
Hmm.
What do you reckon? Do you approve of that?
It doesn't look quite so good on the Renault because it's all white.
Yeah, it stands out. It's a lot worse, isn't it? A lot more prominent, whereas the Red Bull tends to be a darker colour and it's less noticeable. I did think it might be quite good for sponsorship, though. More space for sponsor logos. Even if it doesn't make the car quicker, if it doesn't make it any slower, probably worth having anyway.
But did you see the pictures of the new or next year's rear wings?
The really thin ones.
No room for sponsorship at all. You couldn't read it.
No, they're going up higher and they're tilting the wing very far back. So effectively, the logos on the front and on the back are almost invisible, which could prove troublesome for some teams.
I bet there'll be some complaints next year.
Oh, there's probably already been complaints. But the thing is, the rules are for enhancing the show and enhancing overtaking, not for satisfying sponsors.
And we finally saw Ferrari's holy nose.
Much farther back than any of us expected. It was beyond the Shell logo, actually at the point where the nose detaches, should it need to be changed during a pit stop. I was also surprised to see the splitter in there. Effectively, it was two holes instead of one, which is what we were expecting. I don't know if they're going to race like that or whether they were just testing something out, but it looks like an interesting development.
Any news on whether it's legal or not yet?
I don't think there's anything preventing there being a hole there as long as it passes the required crash structure. So you'd have to assume that the nose is now bulkier and heavier in order to be stronger. But so long as they can pass the required test before this coming weekend, I don't see why they can't race it.
I wonder how long it will be before Renault copy it.
Ouch. Yeah, although they could, because their nose is similar to Ferrari's. McLaren may have a difficulty doing the same thing because they have a slightly different nose profile and it may not work for them. However, keep your eye out for the next test and see what the Renault's nose looks like there.
There was a good mix of 2008 and 2009 specifications. Some of the teams were running slick tyres.
Most of the teams were running slick tyres, although Toro Rosso didn't. They didn't have time, presumably because somebody battered it into the wall. But it was good to see slick tyres out there, and good to see some of the 2009 spec aero packages running around.
It looked like cars on slick tyres but not running the 2009 aero package were gaining about 3 seconds a lap.
Yeah, Liuzzi loved it, didn't he? He didn't have a chance to test it last time, a lot of the other drivers did. And he really enjoyed his time on slick tyres. Although, bizarrely, he liked the first two laps on the new tyres while every other driver complained like hell about them.
Just the first two laps?
I think he had a problem with setup because he said the tyres went off after the first two laps and then it became a bit of a problem, whereas everybody else had trouble warming their tyres up. They struggled for two laps, and after that, they were fine for the rest of the for the run.
So Liuzzi's just a little bit different then.
Different is a word. He's not a miserable git, is the important thing. Like almost every other driver out there who's complaining about their slick tyres when they're cold, Liuzzi loves them, and all the other drivers, they're wrong.
They're complaining about the tyres being cold, and therefore they're complaining about the impending tyre warmers ban from next year.
Right, because they're used to super hot, super sticky tyres straight out of the pits, and they don't know how to drive a car without them.
Cold tyres were an issue in pre-season testing, and Bridgestone are trying out some new compounds to try and alleviate the problem, but it's still not perfect. De La Rosa, Rosberg and Michael Schumacher are all saying it's still a problem.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a test, isn't it? I mean, this is the point of doing these things so Bridgestone can test out their new compounds and see how they react. Why are people moaning so much? What's the problem?
Barrichello is another driver raising concerns, saying that next year will be boring because drivers will not want to pit as often as they'll be losing seconds coming out of the pit lane on cold tyres. He said if the FIA supplied a tyre blanket with a maximum temperature, let's say 50 degrees, anything would be better than nothing.
So now he wants homologated tyre warmers. This is getting ridiculous. What a silly idea. Just get rid of them. Just take them away.
Bridgestone responded to the criticism, saying, "We have a good deal of experience producing tyres that do not use tyre warmers for GP2, Champ Car, the IRL, Formula Nippon and Super GTs, but we would take these criticisms into consideration in the design of next year's tyres."
So what championship apart from Formula 1 uses tyre warmers?
None.
Right, so what's the point of using this? It's ridiculous. I'm sure Bridgestone just need a little bit more time. They need to work on their compounds again. They can take the information they got from the test. They can go away. They can come back with something that's a little bit better. There'll be no problem. Why are people throwing up all these issues?
Seems to me that if they're the best 22 drivers in the world, they should be able to drive around the fact that they've got cold tyres.
Absolutely. And they're not used to it. I can appreciate that. But they've just got to get used to it.
And I'm not being funny, but it's the same for everybody.
For sure.
Finally, we had a voicemail from Jordan with some thoughts about the test.
Hello, it's Jordan again. I'm just calling to kind of put my thoughts in after the Barcelona tests. And one other thing is for Renault, the team, I think they've made some pretty good improvements. I think it was pretty cool to see Alonso on the top in day three. I think they have made improvements.
Yeah, Alonso did top the timesheets, but as we said earlier, so did Barrichello. Therefore, I'm not entirely sure that's such a great benchmark. Just depending on who was running slicks and who did the best setup. So many people were running so many different packages. The times this week, not really worth looking into.
At the end of one day, the gap between the fastest and slowest was like 11 seconds. You can't take times like that seriously.
Jordan had more to say on the upcoming Grand Prix as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I can't wait for Barcelona coming up this, not this weekend, but next weekend. And it'll be nice to see if Alonso can be up there, maybe even contending for a podium if the car is good enough at his home country Grand Prix. So it'll be interesting. And I wonder if Lewis Hamilton took in Alonso's advice and took bodyguards to Spain. So, all right. Thanks again.
I didn't think it was Alonso that said that.
Somebody did in our comments a couple of weeks ago, but I'm not sure that I heard Alonso say that anyway, no.
I think it would have made more of a fuss if he'd have said something like that.
Yeah, I hope he didn't say that. Although we have been well out of the loop recently, so we could be completely wrong on that. Maybe he did.
Hamilton came out with a slightly weird quote that I read on Crash.net this week. He said, "The circuit to Catalunya is a great track. We can't ever lose it from the calendar."
Where are we going to then? I have no idea about this.
No. And then he followed it up with, "It always sees competitive racing."
No, it doesn't.
When was that?
I can see what he's trying to do. He's just trying to smooth the waters and say, you know, no hard feelings about all the things that went on earlier on in the year. However, that is quite peculiar because it really is no competitive racing at the Circuit de Catalunya, and I don't think there's any chance we're going to lose it off the calendar in a hurry.
Well, it may not be competitive, but like Jordan, we are looking forward to next week's racing.
Oh, yes.
Housekeeping. This week, Lewis Hamilton and Johnny Walker have joined forces to create the Never Drink and Drive Pact. You go to signthepact.com and fill in all the snazzy boxes to get your certificate saying you'll never drink and drive. I did it, and we'll put my certificate on the Enhanced podcast.
It's a really good website because you get to sign your name with a max, like a proper signature, everything. It looks really good.
Yeah, mine didn't.
Yours didn't look good?
No.
Why not?
Looked a little bit like a child had done it.
Oh, really? Bit of a scroll.
So I chose the other option of just typing my name in, and it was a font that looked like handwriting.
You big cheater. Yeah, I know. That's rubbish. Although, isn't this just copying a similar idea that Michael Schumacher launched the other week?
Yeah, he teamed up with Bacardi for the Champions Drink Responsibly campaign. Although that website is just boring. It preaches to you. There's no certificate or nothing.
I'm assuming that although Hamilton does drink responsibly, as he's not a champion, he's probably not eligible for that website.
Aww.
Aww. That's a bit mean. Anyway, his site's better, so I'm sure he doesn't care.
I was just messing when I said I didn't have any news this week.
You do have something to tell us.
Yes.
Yay, go on then, enlighten us all.
We got married.
We got married?
Mm.
You and I?
Yes.
Together?
Yes.
That's a bit peculiar, isn't it?
Charming.
Sorry, do carry on.
Well, what happened was we went on a hiatus.
Unplanned hiatus, sort of.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good one either because we kept commenting.
And yeah, we were in touch. We didn't completely vanish, although we didn't podcast last week, as you may have noticed. And also, your miniseries didn't go out either.
No.
Which was sort of my fault, because I did get a bit carried away.
I'm still trying to figure out where to fit that in now.
Yeah, because it's 7 days and there's only four before the next race.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway, we have mentioned the wedding on the blog.
Oh, do you think we have? Maybe
yes.
More than once.
Possibly. And we asked for your questions, because obviously we didn't want to turn this into a whole wedding fest.
Yeah, no one wants to hear that. Nope. So what questions do we have?
Ian Lockwood has four questions.
Four questions?
Yeah.
Okay, go on then, hit me with one.
How, when did you meet?
That's two questions.
How slash when?
I need to give two answers.
Oh.
Ian Lockwood has five questions.
Fine. How did you meet?
Mutual friend.
When?
5.5 years ago.
Was it a big wedding?
No.
How many guests were aware of Side Podcast?
None.
Where was the wedding?
At sea.
You're not playing along, are you?
Am I not explaining?
No.
Do you need to elaborate?
Yes.
I'll ask you the questions.
Okay.
Okay. Where did we meet?
A mutual friend said we would be perfect for each other.
When did we meet?
About 5.5 years ago.
I said that.
Yeah.
You can't elaborate on that question, can
okay.
you?
Okay.
Was it a big wedding?
It was quite possibly the smallest wedding you could ever imagine.
Could it be any smaller?
No, there was just us, the person officiating the ceremony, and two witnesses.
Which is basically everything you need to have a legal wedding.
Yeah.
You couldn't have a smaller wedding legally if you tried, as far as I'm aware. How many guests are aware of Side Podcast?
Well, therefore, none.
No guests.
No.
No one was aware. And we didn't mention it to anyone there.
No.
And we didn't try recording it or any attempt to podcast it. So, none. Where was the wedding? It was at sea. There you go. I rest my case.
We wanted to get married at sea. So, we took a cruise ship. It went down the outside of France and Spain. And so, we got married just off the coast of Spain.
We went to Portugal first, actually. It was on the way up from Portugal to Spain, and then before we got to France, it was somewhere out in the Atlantic. It's about as much detail as we can give you, because we don't actually know.
And there were time changes.
Oh, so many time changes, because the daylight saving times is sort of going on in a couple of countries. So we went from British summer time into French time, which is Central European time, except they were on daylight saving times then. Spain
too much. We got married at 3:30 boat time. Who knows when that was?
The sun was up. I have another question for you.
Okay.
This time from Journia. He asks, since Blashford becomes Christine's maiden name, what is her new last name now?
I'm not changing my name.
You are keeping your name as it is because you're that famous.
Because I'm that independent.
That's what famous people do. They don't take their partner's names.
I'm not famous.
Oh, okay. But you are and will be Miss Christine Blashford.
Yeah.
Forevermore. Next question, this time from Lou, which I think we've sort of answered, but we'll do it again. Can we see more photographs?
We put photos on the Facebook group.
We put photos on the blog.
And we'll put them on the Enhanced podcast as well.
So if you're watching the Enhanced podcast, we'll put some more pictures on as we answer these questions.
My turn for some questions now.
Okay, go on.
Don Speak English said, had actually thought you guys were already married. I used to read Christine's personal blog in the day's pre-Side podcast, and there were plans being made back then. Was the big day delayed by the success of Side podcast?
Yeah, they were, although I wouldn't say it was because of the success of Side podcast, just the fact that Side podcast existed at all, because you made the plans back in 2006. To have a wedding in 2007, about the time of the Japanese and the Chinese Grand Prix.
We would have missed them both.
Yes, but in your defence, at the time that you made the plans, I was sulking about the whole Renault mass damper affair and threatening never to watch a Formula One race again, so you should be excused for making that mistake.
Should be excused for planning my own wedding. Sorry about that.
However, we did lose the deposit on that wedding, and we had to scrap it before it ever happened.
Because of Side Podcast.
Because of Side Podcast, we're that dedicated. And the final question for today, which is from Shashank, I have to ask you, it is, now that Christine's married, what am I going to do?
Oh, sorry about that.
Well, I think there's still a chance you could be wooed away from me. I mean, there's still Jensen.
No.
And Lesseb.
No.
And Frank.
Yeah, maybe.
So basically, all you really need to be is a racing driver, have maybe a bit of stubble, something of a French accent, or loads of money, pretty much. That's the requirements for you, isn't it?
I have simple tastes.
Yeah, right.
That's probably the last time we're going to mention our wedding. No more questions,
so
please.
So just F1 all the way from here on in.
Absolutely. Next week is the Barcelona Grand Prix.
Okay, so we've got a video coming up.
We've got a video coming up. We've got F1 Digest. F1 Minute goes 7 days a week. It's all go.
Okay, so video Tuesday. F1 Digest starts Thursday. F1 Minute is every single day.
It's worth mentioning that if you're not sure what's coming up, the upcoming page now uses Google Calendar.
Improved. New and improved. Mm. Much better idea. If you've got a Google Calendar, you can add the events and keep track of things and do all sorts of funky stuff with that. I haven't really figured it all out yet, but it looks quite cool.
You'll find a link on the homepage. So this show will be back in 7 days' time with all the gossip from Spain. The holiday is officially over.
Oh, no. Is it too late to get an annulment?